Looks like a full house today. So nice to see everybody, a lot of visitors. I really appreciate all of us who are staying the course. Times are difficult for a lot of people. Originally, you were supposed to have somebody else up here, but he ended up getting the flu. So instead, you got me. And if you're wondering where my wife, Roma, is, well, she's out of town helping somebody who's in need. And can you imagine that? Just think of the mischief I could get by staying home alone. And I've been into some. But we won't talk about that. So how has your week been? Tragically, and I've just heard it recently from somebody, there's so much sickness, so many deaths, so many struggles, and so many trials. It's almost mind-boggling, and it's at times quite depressing. And I see out there that there's a person I know that I wish she could have been here, and others that could have been here, little kids, but there's a lot of illness. For me, it's been somewhat depressing, and yet at times elating. There was a lady with a severe auto accident, and after what could have been the end of her days, she's now at home recuperating. The world scene and the national scene has been chaotic, and it's becoming ever more destabilized. Opinion makers can't seem to agree on anything. Mankind ruling himself is just as chaotic as during the times before the two great wars of the last century, which ended up with death tolls into the tens of millions. And that's just directly related to the wars. There were other deaths. There was 25 million people in China killed by a foreign power. Are we frustrated at times? I'll tell you what, this week has been quite frustrating. After I was notified that I was to get up and speak, I had two toilets that didn't want to work, and there's only two in the house. I got one to work. I finally got the other one to work. My computer printer stopped working, and it was a full cartridge. Got that replaced. Then another printer cartridge stopped working, and it's empty. Thankfully, I had a reserve. And then on Facebook, in the Bible reading program, we kept setting up a program for 2018, and we kept having the wrong dates in there. I was told early this morning, it's all up and running. Wow, it's been a busy week. Are we frustrated at times? I would say absolutely we are. And I've talked to so many people, and it's exasperating. It's so difficult. Along the way, I thought of the song by Waylon Jennings, "Stop the World and Let Me Off." How many of us are really ready for that? We're ready for our change in the twinkling of an eye. What about you and you? The title of my message is A World Beset by Problems. Who are you, oh man? Let's see, what time do I have here? Okay, I'll give Mr. Tuck some breathing space to speak. The world beset by problems. Who are you, oh man? The times we live in, the synopsis, we live in just appears to be getting worse and worse for so many. Just what can we as a people do? These times, our patience is being tried with all that's going on for so many people. Through the years, we have seen so many stumble over big things and even little things. We do thank God for the change or the shift in the minds and hearts of a number of people, though, that have managed to find their way home. And I am so excited about that. I know that there's others just on the wings waiting. And God is working with others. God does not give up on us. We may temporarily give up on God, our church congregation, our church families, but God has not given up on any of us. Let's turn to, and I'm going to read this out of my notes, but I'll read it slow enough so you could turn there if you would like. James 1 to verse 2 to 4. Count it all joy, my brothers, when you meet trials of various kinds. Verse 3. For you know that the testing of your faith produces steadfastness. And James 1, 4 says, and let steadfastness have its full effect, that you may be perfect and complete, lacking nothing. Also, in 2 Thessalonians 1, 4, 2 Thessalonians 1, 4, therefore, we ourselves boast about you in the churches of God for your steadfastness and faith in all your persecutions and the afflictions that you are enduring. I've had to endure my own sorts of difficulties over the past several years, but we all have. We're not alone. None of us are alone. In our struggles and strife of life, consider what it says in the following passages that I will now read. When the going gets tough, how do we respond? Do we shrink back in fear and tremble? 1 Peter 5, verse 6. I'm reading most of this out of the English Standard Version. 1 Peter 5, verse 6 to 9. Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, so that at the proper time he may exalt you. In verse 7, casting all your anxieties on him because he cares for you. And I would have to say that in my own long history, going back to 67, 68, 69, God was there for me when I had such little understanding. Verse 8, be sober-minded, be watchful. Your adversary, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion, seeking someone to devour. Don't let your guard down. In verse 9, resist him, firm in your faith, knowing that the same kinds of suffering are being experienced by your brotherhood throughout the world. I have contacts on Facebook with so many people from Kenya, from Uganda, various other sites, and people appear to be awakening, and they do have their sets of trials there. If you think ours are bad, think about what they may be going through. We who are strong, if you are strong, by comparison to others, we ought to be encouragers to those struggling with life's difficulties and travails. Let each one of us, no matter your age or gender, age from 5 to 105, we can be a help to one another, encouraging one another, standing fast with one another. The scriptures ask the question, who are you, O man? Just who are we? Ask yourself, who am I that God has chosen me to be his servant? Each one of us, as part of the human race, we have an incredible human potential. Let's go to the book of Romans and read several passages. The book of Romans, Romans 2, verse 1. Therefore, you have no excuse, O man, every one of you who judges, for in passing judgment on another. You condemn yourselves. Be careful what we say. Don't think because that person left a long time ago or is having a struggle today that they are bad. We all have our struggles, and we know we all have our struggles. And we could delineate those, and it would be very difficult to say, well, I'm doing okay. Well, if I'm saying I'm doing okay, maybe I better examine myself because I'm not doing okay now. Just having that thought. Romans 2:1. Therefore, you have no excuse, O man, every one of you who judges, for in passing judgment on another, you condemn yourself, because you, the judge, practice the very same things. On the political scene, there's accusations against this party and that party, and they're all violating God's commandments, one way or the other, some to a lesser degree. We were promised with a great hope of eternal life by the Creator. And understand this, that we do have a great promise. In Romans 9:20, but who are you, O man, to answer back to God with what is molded, saying to its molder, why have you made me this way? I've been in contact with some people that are outright atheists. And do they really think that an atheist has the solution for the world? Atheism has been tried and tried, and it's failed and failed. Many religions have tried and tried and also failed. But we have a special calling. What do we, as men, women, no matter the age, do? And I say no matter the age, because if you're young, 5, 6, 7, or more, you have a responsibility to be an example to your schoolmates, to others in your neighborhood. I remember a little boy that walked around in the neighborhood, and I was so impressed with him. And I looked at him and I asked him one time, I said, how old are you? He said, 10. And I was looking up to him. He was about 5'7" or 5'8". But he was such a nice kid. Unfortunately, the family had to move because there was a financial crisis in the family. Yes, even young boys and girls have a great responsibility to listen to those in charge and set the course and the right example for other kids. It is such a wonderful sight to see when you know that the kids are following the right path and they are not headed down a path of ruin and strife. Let us turn to 1 Timothy 6:11. 1 Timothy 6:11. But as for you, O man, flee these things. What things are these? The evil things, the breaking of so many commandments, the anger, the poutiness. What do we do? Now listen to this and keep this close to your heart. Remember, all of you, pursue righteousness, godliness, faith, love, steadfastness, gentleness. We, as those called of God, in order to know the joys of life, we must be a proper example to those around us. Matthew 5:16 has this to say, let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven. If we walk around with a frown on our face, what will people think about our religion? There's times to be sad, times to be happy, but we don't have to emanate negative feelings towards others. We must be willing to learn more about this book. And I don't have my Bible up here, but the book in your laps. Read it. It doesn't do any good to sit on a shelf. When I was a little boy, my grandmother had this huge Bible, probably weighed about 10, 15 pounds. I read from Genesis 1:1-6, and I closed the Bible for almost 10 years. Several years after getting out of the army, I came across a Bible, and I started reading. And the more I read, I realized there's hope for each one of us in there. There's an example for each one of us to follow so that we could be a light to others. Learn from that book. Learn the principles and examples laid out in what is called the Book of Books. Let us bring forth fruit, as it says in John 15:8. John 15:8. By this my Father is glorified, that you bear much fruit, so you will be my disciples. I have a fruit tree in the backyard. I planted it from seed. And it actually grew next to an avocado and was competing. I had to get rid of the avocado. A couple of years ago, Roma said, we should pull that tree out. It's not bearing fruit. I don't know if it understood what we were going to do. Trees don't understand what you're doing. But the following year, it bore fruit. And this year, I cannot believe there's dozens and dozens of oranges. God knows what kind of fruit you are bearing. Let it be good fruit. We glorify God when there are good times, but also recognize there's troubled times. Think of Job and the difficulties he went through. Think of the apostles and the real struggles they had. We are always admonished to show the proper love one to another. John 13:35. By this all will know that you are my disciples, if you have love one for another. I'm going to bring this to a conclusion. First, I'd like to make a comment pertaining to my walks in the neighborhood. There were several dozen homes lit up for the annual holiday season. Interestingly, I believe I saw only one or two nativity or manger scenes. All the rest were snowmen, cartoon characters, flashing lights, and plenty of lights and glitter. I don't walk up to the houses and knock on their door and say, that's heathen, that's pagan, that doesn't do any good. They're liable to run me out on a rail. But a neighbor next to me, he and his wife have struggled with some serious health issues, and we're making a better connection. Whether you ever see them here or not, I don't know. But my wife was having a discussion with one of them, and it was peaceful, it was calm. And the woman said, wow, that's really in the Bible. I need to talk to my minister. Unfortunately, she had a serious accident after a wedding, and she ended up falling, getting a brain bleed. But she was, I don't know if she came home yesterday or if she'll be home today. But I think she'll be okay. But years ago, back to all that glitter that we saw, years ago, Glendale had something called Glendale Glitter. And I don't know if you've been down there. I haven't been through Glendale for a while. And one man told me, and this was about 25 years ago, he said, it's ugly. I'm sorry, it's not ugly. It's pretty. False reasons, but it's pretty. Tragically, that person eventually left the church, and he no longer follows the teachings that we have at this time. I think it's not over for him. Someday he will understand. We need to have gentleness and meekness. And we can create dialogue with people around us. We can and ought to let our lights shine, not just to the brethren, to others who may yet be called. If I walk around with a frown on my face, people are going to say, I don't want what he has. Matthew 5:14. You are the light of the world. A city set on a hill cannot be hidden. And in John 8:12, it says, again, John 8:12, again Jesus spoke to them saying, I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will not walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. My last statement now. I was reading a little bit about history. I read about a famous Navy man who once said, never, never give up the ship. Let me say this, pertaining to that. We as Christians must be resolved to never, ever give up our faith nor forget our walk with our Savior, Jesus the Christ.